And take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. That is our next study. And Phyllis was excited about the armor of God. And I told her since that's in Ephesians 6, in a couple of years, we'll probably get there. I don't know. Ephesians is just a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. They're all good, of course. And I was wrestling with what to teach on several months ago. Actually, I started studying for Ephesians, and then Brother Bennett mentioned he thought about Romans, and I don't think I've ever taught through the book of Romans. Now, that would take probably till Jesus comes. Romans is so deep in doctrine, and I really wrestled with that after he said that, but the Lord just led me back to the book of Ephesians, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible that has so many things. In fact, I've entitled the book of Ephesians, I call it Blessed with All Blessings, and it does talk about that. The theme verse you see here is Ephesians 1:3. We will have other verses, but since that is in the beginning of Ephesians, that is a great theme verse, because Ephesians is all about being blessed with all blessings, and it is a typical, and we'll talk a lot about this when we get into the book itself, but it starts off with doctrine, and it ends up with duty. In other words, we learn about the truths of God's word and what he wants us to know, but he never wants us to know something and do nothing with it. He always wants us to know something and then do something. And so Ephesians is just an excellent book about knowing something and then doing something about it. And so just a great, great challenge. So we are going to go through the book of Ephesians in this class. And we are on lesson one. If you need lesson one, Brother Harnden has those. Phyllis needs one way up here. And anybody else? Lesson one? All right. Again, this is just our very first lesson. The title, Blessed with All Blessings. And the theme verse, Ephesians 1:3. So let's go ahead and say that together. And it's a great, great verse. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference again. And begin. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. And again, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Father, I do thank you for this time we can spend in your word. And we do thank you for the study of Revelation. Thank you for giving it to us and guiding us into the truth of Revelation. We recognize we could study it again, and we would learn even different things, newer things, and because your word is alive and it is always fresh. And yet there were some great truths that we were able to learn. I pray we would apply them to our lives. Now as we think about your blessings, we think about how we can be blessed. May we recognize that you will always give truth, and then you'll show us how to act upon that truth. And so please let us know that is the way to be blessed with all blessings. I pray you'll guide us now and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've broken this down. I do have an outline for Ephesians. It is not someone else's outline. It is my own. That's why it may not necessarily always make a whole lot of sense. But it does pretty much break down the book of Ephesians. I start off with, really, we're only going to have three Roman numerals for the whole book of Ephesians, but we will have many, many points around that. And number one is the description, and really revealing our blessings. It covers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, revealing our blessings. And again, Paul is starting out here Again, we realize that there is someone that writes. There's a human instrument that God used named the Apostle Paul. We know that God, of course, is the author. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we come to chapter 1, Ephesians 1 and verse 1, and we're at capital A, the author. And so the very first part of Ephesians, it starts off with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Again, signing the letter at the beginning that was a common practice, and so letting us know the one who is that God used to write this letter to the Ephesians. We will talk a little bit about this letter and how, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but how it was probably it was a letter not just to the Ephesians. It was probably a letter that went to several churches, all the churches, and the Ephesians were simply one of the churches, their name being added. And again, in those days, it was not a matter of bringing the letter up on a computer screen and plugging in the word Ephesians or the people at Ephesus or people at Colossae or whatever. It was a matter of having to copy that, and they had to write everything out. But it because of the way it's written, because of the style and everything and some other things which we'll talk about later on, it does appear that this was I believe they call it a cyclical letter. In other words, it went around to all the churches. It was a general kind of a letter to many different churches. There doesn't seem to be a lot of personal things in it. For example, the 1 Corinthians, very personal, very much, okay, we know what you're doing, we know what's going on there, and you need to get right with God. I mean, that's very personal. This one, it appears to be more of a doctrinal, and here's what I want you to do based on that. And again, but obviously, the church at Ephesus was one that was very near and dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul, and we'll obviously talk about that. The author here, of course, is Paul. We know about Paul that he was Saul before he got saved. Again, the story of him is one of my favorites. My middle name is Paul, and so when I was first saved, I kind of looked all those things up, and I always have liked the Apostle Paul. I like his story. He's on the road to Damascus. And he's not on the road to Damascus shopping. He's not on the road to Damascus to buy a new chariot. He's not on the road to Damascus to go meet friends. He is on the road to Damascus as a soldier to persecute Christians. And as Saul, that is what he was known for. As Saul, he was a man that persecuted Christians. If this were going on today with Saul, it would be, he would walk in with his soldiers. He would walk in, perhaps the back, and he would come in, take over the service, and he would persecute. He would challenge. He would take away people's rights, take away their jobs. He would, in many cases, take away their lives. He was there when Stephen was killed, when he was stoned, and he's the one that gave the order. And so he was a very wicked man, a man that persecuted. By the way, he was a wicked man, but he was also a religious man. And don't ever get confused about wickedness and religion. The two we learned in the book of Revelation, the false prophet is a wicked man. He's a false prophet, but he also is very religious. So Saul was that way. And you know the story. He's on the road to Damascus. He has permission from everybody, has to have permission from, to persecute the church in Damascus. And there on the road, the Lord appears to him, and Saul gets saved and becomes the Apostle Paul. And his story is a wonderful story, but it's no different than your story, and it's no different than my story. You know, some of the details are different, but thank God for salvation. Thank God that we can be saved. You say, well, I was never that bad. You were every bit as bad. I was every bit as bad. Whatever our sin was, it put Jesus on the cross. Whatever our sin was, it would have taken us straight to hell. Whatever our sin is, if you're not saved, it will take you straight to hell. and you must be born again as the Apostle Paul was. And so here he is now as the Apostle Paul. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And so I just wrote down some things here. Number one, first I just have Paul here, and then number two, I have an apostle. He is an apostle. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 he recognized this and he understood this. Obviously, we know about the 12 apostles, right? Well, Paul also was an apostle. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 1, and I like what he says. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. And so he points out his apostleship, and there were requirements, one of those being that he had to actually see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know on the road to Damascus, that was his testimony that he did. And anyway, a very, very important thing as far as he signs the letter, Paul, an apostle. So as you read Ephesians, if you're in the church at Ephesus, you recognize this is an apostle that has written this. And he says this, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, I just wrote down several verses where he talks about that. 2 Corinthians 1:1, again, the signing of a letter, 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. There it is again. Look at Galatians 1:1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Same thing. He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Again, he's talking about the will of God. He's not chosen by men to be an apostle. He is chosen by the will of God. And then, of course, our text here in Ephesians, he talks about by the will of God. Look over at Colossians 1:1. Again, the signing of a letter, Colossians chapter 1. And verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then again in 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So, an apostle by the will of God. Again, that may not mean a lot to us, but I guarantee to the folks at Ephesus it meant a whole lot, because here is a man who is telling us how we're supposed to believe. Again, you and I, we have our King James Bibles. We open them up. We know this is God's Word. We understand that, and Satan's tried to deceive so many. There are a lot of people in our world today that wouldn't say they know that. A lot of people would say, you know, we don't understand, we're not sure about it. Well, we know this is the Word of God. But here is a letter, and perhaps the pastor at the Church of Ephesus stands up to read this letter, and you know, it is important to understand that Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He hasn't been chosen by a group of some committee got together and said, "Okay, eeny meeny miny mo." Okay, that isn't how he was chosen. He wasn't chosen some other way. He's saying God chose me to this position. You know, that's what I like. I like people who say, God chose me to this position. I like people that, I like for a Sunday school teacher to say, I believe God wants me to do this. I like a bus captain to say, I believe this is God's will for my life. I like folks in master clubs to say, I believe this is what God wants me to do. I like for somebody who works in the nursery, I think that they ought to say, I believe this is what God wants me to do. And so the call goes out one day from church that we need bus drivers, or we need nursery workers, or we need somebody to help out in junior church. And here's what I would like as a pastor. I would like folks to get on their knees and say, God, would you like for me to do this? And then for that person to come and say, Pastor, I believe this is what God wants me to do. That's the way it ought to be. You know, to stand up in front of a class, to stand up in front of a bus of children, to stand up in front of a group of people and say, it is God's will that I stand before you today. That makes a whole lot of difference. It really makes a lot of difference. I think of Brother Bowman here who, wow, how many years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, when Brother Bowman took over RU. He didn't take over RU because, we all got together and said, who would be the best person for this? He didn't take over RU even because I called the RU director in Chicago or Rockford, Illinois, and said, you know, here's our options. No, here's how it happened. Brother Bowman came to me and said, Pastor, I believe that this is God's will for me to do. Doesn't get any better than that. Are you listening? God's will is so important. What we do, we should do it because it's God's will. No matter what it is, we should do it because it's God's will. It meant so much. In fact, let me just throw this out. You know, so many times people come to me, and I'm thinking of folks that come, and they come to me. Sometimes people come for counsel, and they say, Pastor, what should I do? Pastor, could you help me and give me some different options on what I should do in this scenario? And many times, that's how people come. Sometimes people come and they say, here is what I believe God has told me to do. Now, if somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, I believe this is God's will. I believe this is what God wants me to do. And I'm just letting you know that there is nothing more for me to say. And I don't. I've had people before, they say, I believe this is God's will for my life. And they just kind of look at me and I say, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, amen, hallelujah. And then they say, what do you think? And I say, it doesn't matter what I think if this is God's will for your life. Seriously, now, again, there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And I would always urge you unless you know God has made it very clear, I would always urge you to get a little bit of counsel because that will help you to realize God's will in so many areas. I can tell you this, we need guys to get their CDLs for bus driving. I believe it's God's will for several guys to get their or even ladies could, I suppose. I know some that have talked about it. So don't just pass it off when the Bible says by the will of God. Don't just we have the Lord's Supper and we have it once a month. Try to have it once a month every month. You know, and that's a big deal, right? Why is it a big deal? Well, because it's the will of God. Because he said, this do. That's why we do it. This do. The will of God is absolutely crucial for our lives. And I think we as Christians, we have pushed it aside so many times. And our young people, we think it's all for children. That's our problem. We think, well, you young people need to know the will of God. Why don't old people need to know the will of God? I like something Clark was talking. We were talking before the service, and he was talking about he still has goals. How old are you, Clark? 88 years old. He still has dreams and goals at 88 years old. Well, because he knows God has. Look, if you're still here, and I can assure you of this, you all are. I'm looking at you. If you're still, God has, his will is that you be here. Amen. That means he's not done with you. So his will, it's so important. There's so many things about God. We're all waiting on some mysterious thing. He's not going to be mysterious about what he wants us to do. You know what? If you check your pulse and there is one, then he has something for you to do because you're still here. That's pretty deep. Anyway, so the will of God, this is why it takes so long, because preachers, we just like stuff like this. But So he's an apostle by the will of God. Notice this, 1 Timothy 1:1. Here's another way he signed a letter. Again, no accident, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But 2 Timothy 1:1, this kind of ties in with the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, not only does he talk about being an apostle by the will of God, but also by the commandment of God. Have you ever tried to even think about putting the two of those together? You know, commandment and will. Well, here's the example of that. All right, you had a teenager at home, and your teenager was a boy, and the grass was getting real high, and you said to your son, Poindexter, mow the grass. Now, he did not have to wonder what your will was. Why? Because you commanded it. We have to understand that whatever God wants us to do, he will tell us to do it. Again, he does not play games by hiding his will somewhere in the sky. He just tells us, well, you know, and again, it's as simple as once you get saved, his will is that you get baptized. Actually, it starts with getting saved. His will is that you get saved. If you're not saved today, he commands us to repent. It's a command. We have to get saved. That is his will. Once you get saved, his commandment is get baptized. Let everybody know. That's his will. I have people all the time, well, I just got saved and I don't know what God wants me to do. You know, I'm looking for what he wants me to do. What are you looking for? Well, you know, does he want me to go here or go there? No, he wants you to go back there and get wet. That's what he wants you to do next. I've watched so many people do nothing because they wouldn't take that step. Brother Bowman, you've heard my story. I got saved and I had long, beautiful hair. It was just so pretty. And the preacher said, you need to get baptized. And I said, oh, what's that mean? Now, I was sprinkled. My family were, we called them Creasters. They went at Christmas and Easter. They went to a Methodist church. And so when I was born, my mom knitted a little doohickeys thing that they put on me, and then I was sprinkled. I don't remember any of that. How many of you were sprinkled? Anybody else sprinkled? Oh, several were. Do you remember it? Brother Frank, you remember being sprinkled? I don't either. Mom used to talk about, she's talked about this cute little thing she knitted and how cute I was and everything. And I was sprinkled. And so I thought, you know what? That was good. I did that. And there was no harm, nothing wrong. I didn't drown or anything. Like, of course, when you're sprinkled, you wouldn't drown. But I didn't know anything about it. Number one. Number two, I wasn't saved. And so the preacher said, now you need to get baptized. I said, no. I said, hey, everything's cool. Of course, back then I was a hippie. And hey, man, groovy. You know, I don't have to get back. I did that when I was a baby. And he just smiled and said, No, you have to get baptized. That's next. And immediately I thought of the last person he baptized, and I said, they got all wet. He said, oh, you do get all wet. And the first thing I thought of was, nobody sees me with wet hair. And you know, again, I was new. It was all a new thing. And he said, you know, Jesus Christ hung on a cross for you. Why wouldn't you get baptized? And I got baptized. And you know what? That's stuck with me all these years. That's what God told me to do. And you know, when you do what he says to do, you are doing his will. I don't know how many people are just, oh, I just want to know what God wants. Just, okay, I'm thinking of somebody I talked to recently, and they hardly ever go to church. You know, I just want to know what God wants. He wants you to go to church. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He wants you to go to church. You know, we have people that are, should I be a missionary? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you tithe? Well, no, I'm still struggling. Come on. There are so many things. You know, well, I want to do great things. Do you read your Bible every day? Yeah. I'm just struggling with my future and what. Do you pray? See what I'm saying? When we obey His commandment, we do His will. That's what He wants. You know, we need to quit again, you know, with growing up. And most of us, you know, we've had children. All of us were children. Amen. And again, all we have to do is we have to just kind of go back and think, when Dad said do it, then that was His will. When you said do it, that was your will. And the Bible is so full of things God tells us to do. That is His will. And so Paul makes it very clear. It's by the will of God. It's by the commandment of God. Look what he says in Romans 1:1. Here you go, Clark. Romans. Yes. Romans 1:1. Here's how we would have started off. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Look what he says. Called to be an apostle. Separated unto the gospel of God, called to be an apostle. Called. So again, it's what a blessing to say, I was called to do this. Brother Frank, before you leave, isn't it wonderful to be called to be in charge of junior church?
I was thinking the same thing.
Isn't that an awesome thing? It is. It's not well, the board appointed me. It's God called me to do this.
I'm grateful every time I get
to those. Isn't that an awesome thing? It's an amazing thing. Could you be called to work nursery? You could. I'm not talking about Patty calling you. Amen. I'm talking about where you get on your knees and you say, God, is there something I can do? And God says, you can work in the nursery. You can clean the church. There's so many. God called me to do this. I think about, I don't ever want to embarrass people, but I think about Richard Laux, and you notice our vines out here. You talk about a huge job. These vines out here, just they've got, there's poison ivy, there's thorns, there's thistles, so it all just had to be cleaned out. But he's been working on that. And I believe with all my heart, here's a guy that said, God, what can I do? And God called him. Because somebody's got to do it. Well, you know, we thought that we just get people to, I don't want people just to get people to do. I want people to say, you know what, God's called me. God's called me. It's a sacred thing. What keeps the Baileys going on the bus route? Because years ago, God called them to be bus captains. That's how you keep going. God called. To me, they are just as called as I am called to be a pastor. Some of our dear nursery workers, they are just as called as I am called to be a pastor. Dee over here with sign language, she's done it for years. She is just as called to work with deaf people as I'm called to be a pastor. It's the same call. It's an awesome thing. See why it takes so long to get through Ephesians? We're not even through verse 1 yet. This is the problem. The problem is not the book. The problem is the preacher. Notice what else it says. And he's very specific. Romans 11 verse 13. Romans 11 and verse 13. And again, these are things that we miss sometimes. Because where Paul says he's called by the will of God to be an apostle. But notice what he says in Romans 11. Here's Romans again, Clark, in verse 13. I try to make everybody happy. Romans 11, 13. Here's what he says. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. He said, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Now you say, well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, as far as I know, none of us are Jews. We're Gentiles. And thank God, God made sure there was an apostle to go after the Gentiles. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so glad that God called and commanded a man named Paul to go after the Gentiles. Now, there's a whole story to that, and that's not really what I want to talk about. I like the specifics there of the Apostle Paul. Here's what God wants me to do. God called me. God commanded me. It is God's will that I go to the Gentiles specifically. You know, some people, they'll just, well, I'm just trying to be a good Christian. Wonderful. But what's God want you to do? He wants you to be, okay, yeah, we know that's God's will, that you just be a good Christian. But does he have something for you to do? What can you do? What can you do? It goes back to what Clark said at 88 years old. I've got goals. I've got a vision. There's things I want to do. Praise God. Happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. Now, I know there comes a time when we can no longer do all those things. I've reached a place where I don't do what I used to do. 10 o'clock and my eyes start to close. And I like that, although I get up early. But oh, you know, to be able to do. There were days, I remember days where 10 o'clock, we were just getting started. Now it ends. Yeah, 11 o'clock, it's over. I mean, whatever I did from 10 to 11, usually it's a blur the next day. Yeah. To the Gentiles, specifically to the Gentiles. And then let me close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. And we'll stop here. It's a good place to stop. You say, we didn't get through verse 1. Well, it was planned. Kind of. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 9. I want to end here because it's just such an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. Here's what he said about himself. He said it was by the will of God that he's an apostle. He said it's by the commandment of God that he's an apostle. He's called to be an apostle. He's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But here's how he looked at himself. And boy, that's a good way to look at yourself. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Notice what he says next, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. He said, I took the grace that God bestowed on me to call me to be an apostle. He said, I don't deserve it. I shouldn't. I know what I am. But he said, that grace, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to do something with it. The least, he said, of the apostles. You say, well, I mean, that's a pretty high honor. It can be a high honor. To be used of God is a high honor. Clark's reminded me about the offering. How could I forget an offering? The only thing that ever gets my mind off the offering is the Word of God. But let's go ahead and do the offering too. We can do both. I got a couple minutes. Go ahead and bring the plates around and put that money in. Amen. But he felt like he was the least. And I guess, you know, when you're called of God and you know it's the will of God and it's by the command of God and you know what you're supposed to do, we should never, ever, ever, ever think it's because we're something. Because it always is by the grace of God. By the grace of God. That's why a lot of times, and I'll have people say, I'll tell people, you know, I missed you when you weren't in church. And they'll say, oh, you don't care about, yeah, I do. Because you have a spot. You do something. And everything we do for God is, nothing is more important than anything else. Everything's important. Study your Old Testament sometime and look at the different tribes and all the things they did. Would you say, well, this was more important than that? Most of the time, if this doesn't get done, that doesn't get done. I got news for you. If nobody watches the babies in the nursery, then we have a real tough time in here. We've seen it at business meetings when the babies come in. We've seen it at business meetings when the adults are babies. Anyway, but I mean, seriously, you gotta have, you know, the nursery is wonderful. The junior church is wonderful. Everything that we do, you know, as long as it is the call and the will of God, it's all important. And as long as we have a reminder of what we are and what we are because of Him, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I love the Apostle Paul. I love what he says. And we'll get into that a little bit further where we talk a little bit about that. And we will get through verse 1 in a month or so. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we sure do appreciate your wonderful grace as we sing about it today in the choir, as we sing about it tonight in the choir. May we be reminded again of the wonderful, wonderful grace of Jesus. The songwriter said it's amazing grace. All of that is true. And let us take the call of God, the commandment of God, the will of God, and let us rejoice in it that we could ever be used. I pray. Bless our morning service in Jesus' name. Amen.